Welcome to Revitalize and Replant with Mark Clifton, where we equip pastors to take their churches from declining to thriving by pointing them to a new future and a new hope. Join us weekly for encouragement and practical advice in your pastoring journey.
Well, welcome to Revitalize and Replant on Thanksgiving Day.
I love this Thanksgiving.
This is Thanksgiving Day. We are here with Mark Halleck and Kyle Bierman. We're here in Denver on Thanksgiving Day. This is live.
Eating turkey.
This is live. So we got turkey right in front of us, right here, all the food. And I know you have this turned on at your family Thanksgiving table.
Go Cowboys.
Go Cowboys. Is that right?
Go Cowboys.
So this is our annual Thanksgiving episode. We've been doing this since way back in the late 1960s. So anyway, before podcasts were even invented. So this is our Thanksgiving episode on Revitalize and Replant. And first of all, we are thankful for you.
Oh, come on. We are.
Tens of thousands of you are listening, and we are beyond grateful for that. And whenever we are out and about and you come up and say, hey, I like the podcast, it means something to us, nothing means more to us than that.
Oh, it's so encouraging.
That is why we do this.
Absolutely. It's
and
a joy.
And we love to do it.
We love it. We love pastors. We love churches.
Yeah, right.
So thank you.
Thank you. We love you. We're thankful first for you. But here are five things every pastor should be thankful for at this Thanksgiving season.
This Number is good one, for us to be thinking about.
You need to be thankful that God called you to be a pastor. Unpack that for me, Howard.
Wow. Man, when I just think about my own life, and I hope just all of us, we think about when God saved us and he called us to himself and how life obviously changes everything. But then when the Lord calls you to ministry, man, it's scary, it's unpredictable, and yet it's the most exciting thing in the world. And I just think, and I pray we never lose this. I pray I never lose the joy of being a pastor, the humility of just that God would want to use me in this way, and the weight of it all at the same time. But I'm so thankful that the Lord would allow us. And I hope you guys listening feel the same way today.
I do too.
Like, man, what, like, seriously, man, this isn't just like a job you sign up for.
No.
This is a calling that the maker of the universe equipped you, has called you, and is using you to make disciples and to preach the word and to care for his sheep.
He's called you as his anointed under-shepherd. He's the great shepherd, but you're the anointed under-shepherd. And pastor, you're the anointed under-shepherd to 5,000 or to 5. And it's up to the Lord. You know, the greatest preacher in the Old Testament was Elijah, who called down fire from heaven. But you know, the greatest preacher in the Old Testament spent 2 years with the congregation of 2, a widow and her son, and they weren't terribly receptive. I mean, but he was faithful, right?
He was faithful, that's
so
right.
So I want you to just be grateful, whether no matter where you serve, that the Lord selected you to be one of his appointed under-shepherds. That is, man, that ought to be something you ought to be just delightful in and grateful every day and never get used to that and never get over it. And every time you come before the Lord, man, as it comes to you, thank him for that.
Yeah, that's right.
Thank him for that.
In the face of the challenge, and there's so many challenges, we know this, but man, just know the Lord's hand is upon you. He's called you. He will equip you and be encouraged by his spirit today, for sure.
Secondly, I want you to be grateful for the opportunity that you have to have learned from others. So use this time as this Thanksgiving season to think about the men and women in your life who have really shaped you.
Let's see. Okay, let's
particularly the other pastors who've shaped you, or seminary professors, or teachers who've shaped you.
Let's do this real quick. Let's share, you and I each share 4 or 5 key teachers, pastors who have impacted our life. You go first, and then I'll go.
And, but let me say this before I forget it.
Yep.
But not only be thankful for them, but take this week and write, if they're still living, if they've already died, well, you know. But if they're still living, write them a card or a note, not just an email, but a card or a note, and say, hey, you have really meant a lot to me. The Lord has used you in my life a great deal.
Yeah, or give them a call.
Or give them a call.
Just call them.
Absolutely. Okay, so there are several in my life. You know, one, literally, I've never met him, and he, you know, he was gone long before I was born. But that was certainly was Charles Spurgeon. It's amazing how he continues to minister to me, to speak to me, to encourage me in so many ways. Another one's Martin Lloyd-Jones, same kind of thing. Two guys long ago, but ones that I've known personally that have shaped me, that I've been able to interact with on a personal level. Clearly, you know, Henry Blackaby would be at the front of that list for so many ways how he has shaped my understanding of God and my call to ministry and the love of God in my life and loving His people. So critically important. Mm. There's another man, many of you won't know him, but Charles Chaney. For years, he was a vice president of the Old Home Mission Board. When I was a young man, he was my age. I'm 66. Mm. Charles is about my age, and I was in my 20s. And he cared for me. He took time with me, and he opened up God's Word. And I find myself so many times, Mark, sharing things from the book of Acts that I heard him say. Mm.
Isn't that amazing?
That I heard him say. Yeah. I mean, he unpacked some of these truths to me. He was the president of Southwest Baptist University for a while in Bolivar. Then he became the vice president of the Home Mission Board. But I just want to mention his name, Charles Chaney. Mm. He went to Southwestern Seminary for the last few years of his life before he passed away. But certainly he would be another one that would be really influential. And my own dad certainly was a pastor who really had a lot to do with my life. And then there was a man named Rex Lindsay, Pex Lindsay, who was my executive director at the Kansas-Nebraska Convention when I served there for 10 years, and I was a train wreck. I mean, he was so patient with me. Many other men would have fired me on many occasions, and I think people ask him to fire me on many occasions. And he would walk into my office. I was in my 30s, and I was just I wouldn't have liked my 30-year-old self. But Peck, that was his nickname, Peck would walk in my office, and he'd sit on my desk, and he'd say, Clifton, you want to keep working here? I'd say, well, yeah. He'd say, well, here's what you're going to have to do. And he'd tell me exactly the things and he loved, and he just corrected me.
Wow.
And if that man hadn't corrected me, my path would have gone in a whole different direction.
Totally different direction.
And he's still living, and I'm grateful for him, and I'll write him a note this week and thank him for the correction he gave in my life and the patience he had with me.
Yes, that's right.
I don't have the kind of patience with guys that he had with me.
Yeah.
And that paid off. So I would say it would be Blackaby and Chaney and Peck Lindsay, my dad, probably Martin Lloyd-Jones and
That's so
Spurgeon.
Good. Yeah, let me just bust through. Yeah, so I would say, dead guys. There's a lot of dead guys.
Yeah, I know.
But Spurgeon's definitely there. Lloyd-Jones is there. I would say another guy named Jerry Bridges.
Oh, sure.
Was hugely, just his writing, just who he was. In my life, this is fun to think about, actually. So I would say there's four or five guys that come to my mind. One is when I think I've shared this before, maybe if you didn't know this, I went to play basketball out of high school at a junior college. And this was a state school in Wyoming. And I had, I was a Christian and I took like the only religion class basically I could take and ended up being this Presbyterian pastor who taught the class named Stan Durham. And he loved Jesus. And he said, he was obsessed with Romans. He would just talk about Romans all the time. And I went up to him after class one day. I said, is there any way, like, do you do a Bible study or anything? Because I didn't have anybody discipling me. He and I ended up studying Romans every Wednesday through the week. This was a guy at a state school. So he was one. Another guy would be Daryl Schramm, who was the senior pastor of a church I served as a youth pastor in for 40 years. Loved Jesus. Never met a guy who loved people like him. Another guy is a guy named Vernon Grounds. I don't know if that name rings a bell.
No,
he started Denver Seminary.
Okay.
When it was Denver Conservative Baptist Seminary, he was there for 50 years, and he was just one of the most gentle, godly men. It's hard to put into words. It kind of reminds me of the way you talk about your dad.
Okay.
I mean, it sounds weird, but he was a little guy, and he just like, when you talk to him, he just hold your hand.
Oh, really?
You know, just gently. Yeah. And it wasn't weird. It was just like, he was huge. And then, I would say, one more guy I'll just say is a guy named Tim Whitmer, who is a professor at Westminster.
Sure.
Again, just a shepherd, and all these guys, man, honestly, I just, as I'm thinking about it, I'm so thankful for their impact in my life.
Me too. And I'm sitting here thinking, you know? I've left so many people.
Oh,
out.
Me too.
And I got to mention,
there's so many.
I got to mention Tony Mattia.
Tony
the
Mattia.
Spurgeon of the Plains.
Oh, I love Tony.
Tony from Wamego, Kansas. He's the one that really introduced me to Spurgeon.
Yep.
And a lot of other things he introduced me to. And so certainly him. But it just takes some time at this Thanksgiving and be thankful first and foremost for your calling And secondly, for the men that God has placed in your life that has shaped you. And as you do that, ask yourself, who am I shaping?
Wow, that's
good. How am I passing this along to someone else? Secondly, I'm thankful for, it kind of goes with Peck Lindsay, I'm thankful for the people that I pastored who were patient with me, who put up with my, you know,
that's for sure,
ineffective leadership and maybe not so great sermons, especially when I was young.
Yeah.
Dude, I started, I pastored my first church at 18, and I thought I was ready to go. You know, I thought, man, I got this.
You had it all figured out.
I got it all figured out. And years ago, somebody brought a cassette tape they gave me of me preaching when I was like 18 or 19.
Oh, boy. What was it like?
Oh, well, I remember I was preaching, only a fool says there's no God. And man, I brought it.
You're like,
I was spitting and sucking air and fired up.
Sounded like Adrian Rogers.
18-year-old kid. I mean, those people sat there, they were tortured by that preaching. But there was a rural country church up in North Missouri, and they just put up with me.
Yep.
You
probably
know,
encouraged you and loved
another
you.
Another thing I did, I'll never forget, we were in one association, but there was another association that was in part of the county seat town. And we were in a rural association. We're about 10 miles from the county seat. And so I've been there, I don't know, 6 weeks or something. And I'm 18 years old. I'm a freshman in college. And I'm thinking, I want to be part of the city association in the county seat. That's where we can get things done. So I just announced one Sunday morning that, I've looked at it and I would like us to change to the city, to the new association.
Oh,
this church
no.
had been in this rural association for 110 years.
This is a bold move.
I'm grateful for the deacons who lovingly informed me that's not how things are done. But they didn't fire me.
Okay? That's the miracle
they
of it.
They didn't. I mean, I'm grateful, and to this day, for people who put up with me.
I know, man.
I'm thankful for people who put up with me when they shouldn't have to put up with me. That's what I'm thankful for.
That's great.
How about you got people like that?
Yeah, I do. Okay. Oh, man. I think we all do. And in fact, I would say right now, if you're pastoring a church right now, be thankful for the people in your flock who show you so much grace. I know I feel that way even now because, man, God's drawing some straight lines with some crooked sticks by his grace, but we're grateful for the flock that is gracious toward us.
So we're grateful that we've been called. We're grateful for the men who've invested in us. We're grateful for the people who've been patient with us. And I think we've got to say we're grateful for God who didn't remove us from our calling and could have at many different places. There are many times I deserve to be removed from my calling. But just as these other people were patient with me, he was gracious with me and he stuck with me. But you think about how many times we're just looking at our own lives, we haven't lived up to our calling at all. And we failed him and others in so many ways. And I'm gracious that he didn't remove that calling from me when I lived with unconfessed sin, or when I failed to be consistent in my prayer life, or when I operated in the ministry in my flesh. You know, he convicted me of it.
Yep.
He drew me back to him, but he was gracious to me.
Yeah.
And I'm so grateful
Praise
for
the
that.
Lord. Amen.
And then I heard somebody say one time and write it one time. I never forgotten it because it works for me. I'm grateful that, maybe it was Rainer, I can't remember. I'm grateful that the internet didn't exist when I was young.
Oh, man.
I'm serious.
Can you imagine?
No. I mean, What young people and young men have to go through today to battle that.
Oh, dude.
Teenagers and things.
Yeah.
And then also, I'm grateful that the internet didn't exist when I started preaching.
Oh, yeah.
Because I would have leaned way too much on it. And now with AI, you guys, I mean, back when I started, I had a handful of books. That's all I had. Three or four of them were called Herschel Ford Simple Sermons for Sunday Morning, Herschel Ford Simple Sermons for Special Occasions, and Herschel Ford Simple Sermons for Sunday Nights.
That's what you had.
That's what I had. And you know what? They were all simple sermons. My dad used to say he needed to write a book called Herschel Ford Simple Sermons for Simple Christians. But that's all I had, I could go to the library at Midwestern and try to get some books. And over time, you know, I bought a book here or there. But books were expensive.
Right, yeah.
Buying a concordance, trying to find. I remember somebody, when I got ordained, I had an older pastor who gave me Spurgeon's Commentary on the Psalms.
Huh.
That was like gold.
Oh, yeah.
You know? And so it's good today that you have the internet, but it's you could end up leaning on it too much, we talked about in the previous podcast. True. You don't have to prepare a sermon. Somebody's done a sermon out there. You just got to find it. Sermons.com, you know, whatever.
Yeah, that's right.
So I'm grateful that understanding my weaknesses, that I was not exposed to that at a young age. Mm. That's kind of weird, but.
No, I get
what
it,
are
man.
You, what else are you grateful for?
I totally.
On this Thanksgiving.
Oh, man, I'm thankful for my family. I'm thankful for the gift of good food.
Oh, that's true.
You know, I'm grateful for good friends. Grateful for, really, really grateful for the gospel. You know, as you're talking, I'm just sitting here thinking, Lord, you have saved me by your grace from your righteous wrath that I deserve. You have given me life. You have given me your Holy Spirit. You fill me with joy, and I'm going to be with you forever. And I know those are truths that we all preach, but guys, I hope we never stop being amazed and thankful for the grace of God in our life.
I know. And sometimes on this podcast, because it's Revitalize and Replant, we spend a lot of time talking about obstacles and challenges and heartaches and all that. But on this Thanksgiving Day, we just wanted you as a pastor to join us in being thankful for these things and never ceasing to be thankful for them, indeed. And we're thankful for you. And we're thankful for Mr. Kyle Bierman over here.
Absolutely.
Who didn't chomp any ice on this podcast like he did on the others. I am sorry, Kyle. We love you.
Love
we
you,
do.
Kyle.
We do. Come here. Let me give you a hug. Come on. Come on over here. Okay. See you later.
Thanks for joining us today on Revitalize and Replant. This podcast is brought to you by the North American Mission Board, where we help dying or struggling churches regain health for the glory of God and the good of their communities. If you found this conversation helpful, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on your favorite platform. To learn more about becoming a replanting pastor or to explore resources about revitalization for your own church, visit churchreplanters.com.